This morning, my sharing, I have entitled it to be Living Well in Among and Among Thorns. I want to focus on the second reading, which is found in the second letters to the Corinthians that Paul wrote to them. What are the weaknesses that Paul talks about in this particular letter? What does he has in mind? I don't think it is of sin or imperfect behavior or bad choices that he made or we make, though we have some of those, obviously. I think Paul really wants to focus two areas of weaknesses. First is the physical weakness, and I will come back to that. But he also fills it out a bit more in verse 10 to tell us what he has in mind. He talks about insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. These could be the thorns that he lived in, and also we have those the same experiences from time to time. They are circumstances and experiences that make us feel weak or look weak. Imagine if we are strong, then we might return the insult to both those who gave to us, and we can put them in their place. If we are strong, then we can take charge of our own fortunes and turn it around. If we are strong, we might push back the persecution that no one would mess with us again. If we are strong, we might use our resources to get rid of the calamities as fast as possibly can. But in reality, we don't usually have all that kind of human strength to deal with the thorns in our lives. When we may have it still, we Christian don't use it the way the world does. Jesus tells us not to return evil for evil. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we try to reconciliate. In other words, this kind of Christian lifestyle or response looks weak and inept. But Jesus' teaching often turns things upside down, and we don't always do things the way the world does it. Then Paul has his prayer. Paul asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn he has. And I believe it is some kind of physical thorn that he experienced. It's only natural that we ask God to deliver us when we are hurting, whether it's a disease, a pain, or a broken heart, a loved one in distress, or some personal failures. We ask God, we pray, and so did Paul. Then came God's answer. God's answer came back like this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you say, what? What kind of answer is this? That's not the kind of answer I would like to have. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Seemingly, it is a God's refusal God's answer was no to Paul. Isn't Paul one of the most faithful individuals on earth? He was on fire, he was effective, he was articulate. In fact, you heard from the scripture reading, the beginning part of that chapter 12, he said, I know a man in Christ. Well, this man is actually Paul himself. He was more or less talking about himself. I know a man in Christ. For 14 years ago, he was caught up in the third heaven. I have no idea how many layers of heaven up there or down there, whatever. But there are obviously three, at least. We know there are three levels. He was caught up. He was taken up to paradise. He saw things, he heard things that none of us know what exactly are they. Well, yet, God said no to him when he asked for the removal of the thorn. And that remained with Paul. And the interesting thing is that it was for Paul's ultimate good and for God's glory. Now that's something difficult to swallow. It was for his own good and for God's glory. So when God says no to some of our requests, there is a valid purpose for his refusal. We are not asking for thorns or more thorns, but if God is for us and with us, we can learn to be content with the thorns that we may have. And that's exactly what Paul did. So for what purpose then? For what purpose God gave Paul the thorns? And we may ask, for what purpose God give me the thorns that I have, or the thorns that I am living within? Thorns or weaknesses or sufferings are linked with grace. Paul says thorn is like the messenger of Satan. Satan wants us to doubt and fall away from God. Does God even hear me, let alone cares while we are suffering? If he does, why isn't he delivering me? Satan knows that we are susceptible to discouragement when physically depleted. So that's when he pounces on us and attacks us and sow doubts in our heads. Paul says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses. In other words, the insults, the hardships, the persecution, and the calamity that he faced. He was content with those for the sake of Christ. That is the purpose. He was content with his thorns in the thigh because they kept him, as his explanation, from being conceited, from spiritual danger of pride. Suffering of any type of itches or texture of lives, so that God's grace has places to stick. Think about painting, or painting your walls or house or whatever. What do you need to do first is to rough it up. Rough up the surface by sanding. Put on the primer and undercoat before finishing the top coat. And sufferings and weaknesses has that purpose of roughing us up so that the top coat sticks well and it looks nice with the finishing. God's grace changes suffering without eliminating it. Pain is pain and loss is loss, any way we slice it. Our suffering does not unhappen, to borrow words from Tolkien, but it can become untrue. God's grace is inseparable from God's presence. In the midst of suffering, we experience God's grace. His presence is with us. God's graceful presence changes the character of our suffering, because God does not merely and passively sympathize us. It means that I am not alone in my suffering. And God's presence and God's grace helps me to endure. Philip Yancey, a well-known Christian writer, says this: when we endure trials, God stands beside us, like the fourth man in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. Remember the story? Three men was there being burned up. Well, hopefully that's what. But there was a fourth person. And Yancey said, God is like that fourth person. He didn't look out from the outside and say, I'll help you. But he actually was there sharing that affliction, that experience together with the three of them. God enters our suffering not merely as an observer, but in grace, effectively and transformatively. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob's historic wrestling match with God, recorded in the book of Genesis, provides an anchoring precedent for all this. He emerges with a wound, a limp, that for the rest of his life, Jacob is reminded of his encounter with God. So there is goodness, there is reason, there is purpose for our suffering, for enduring our weaknesses. Let me bring this all together. Billy Graham once said that in the old days, when a ship carpenter needed timber to make a mast for a ship, he did not cut down a tree in the valley, but he went up on the mountainside where the trees had been pelted by wind and rain and snow. He knew that those trees were strong from having withstood the elements. I have one of my thorns. Some of you know that my eyes are not as good as it was. And I prayed, and I asked God for help, and I asked God for healing, for miracles, but it hasn't come yet. Maybe it would never come. Maybe that's an eye condition I have to bear with and live with. I'm not trying to pontificate myself or belittle sufferings. Some of people I know of have greater suffering than me. Recently I've heard friends from my previous churches in Singapore. One of them has been diagnosed with lymphoma, a form of cancer of the throat area, I think. Another former church member who just died recently, having got cancer, managed to deal with it and then come back again over a period of 15 years. You know, first time she'd beaten it, say great, then somehow it came back. She fought on and came back 15 years until recently she passed away. And one of the things she asked God, and I believe it is God's way of answering her, she accepted the cancer. But she said, God, if only I were able to survive long enough to see my daughter grow up. And she did. She did. God didn't take away the cancer. The thorn was still with her. But the miracle is that she lasted that long to see her daughter grow up. Another, this sounds, maybe this is not a good story, but anyway. Another church, former church member, he went to visit family in America, and something happened. There's a blood clot in his brain, and he was in coma in America. So they had to transport him back from America to Singapore, receive treatment. He is still in a coma. He is now resting at home because it's just too costly to be in the hospital. So the wife, with a helper, is caring for him in coma at home. When I look at these weaknesses and situation, I say, my eyes, hey, what's the problem? I just can't see as clearly as I would like. But my weaknesses, the thorn that I have, is no way compared to some of the story I just shared with you. I admire their courage. I admire their determination to fight on. I admire their perseverance. And maybe that's exactly what Paul is saying here to us. The grace of God is sufficient. He's content with that and be ready to live with that. So would I. The little things that I have to deal with, nothing compared to others. Possibly you or someone you know, while we were talking about it here, is hurting terribly right now. Perhaps physically or emotionally or mentally. My heart goes out to you, to these people, as I do for my friends back in Singapore. I want to encourage you to hang on. But sometimes you think words are cheap. But that's what we need to hang on to. Hang on to the Word of God, because it is on that authority of God's Word that Paul and all of us can say that God's grace is sufficient. We need to embrace suffering because it may have a purpose, as was Paul, to keep him from being conceited. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul also prayed 3 times. Now, I'm not saying there's a magic number of 3 times. I pray more than 3 times, but still doesn't happen for me yet. Maybe one day it will, who knows. But we have to accept God's answer. Accept that whatever heartaches and sufferings we may be facing, we need to allow God to be God. God will use the storms of our life to strengthen us, so that we not only will be blessed ourselves despite these circumstances, but we can also be a blessing to others. We know that we have suffered, and we can help others too.